be successful. I don't want to say we have to wait the next 20 years and I'm sit here again. When I sit here in 4 years, I think we won one title in this time. I'm pretty sure.
Here, of course, is the quote that you never notice.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball, and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
Sorry about that, folks. Cars had teething problems. Look, coming back to the Waffle game, and this is what I want to ask you, Sean, right? Look, we've given away three ridiculous goals, okay? We've scored three sublime goals. We should have scored another two or three goals as well, right? So I want to deal first with the defence because the core issue of what happened last year, right, in terms of we improved substantially. We had a 20% improvement on our defensive return season on season in Klopp's first full season, right? Yes, there's a clear, defined weakness in that team when it comes to set pieces.
Mm-hmm. You can't defend them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Now, I would suggest that the way we're setting up is fine.
But
yeah.
I think it's bollocks.
Okay, just
that's how we worked under Rafa.
There's been three managers since Rafa. Zonal is great, you know, to set up. But Rafa was not half and half.
It was a hybrid of Carragher and another player being the dominant. I don't think the way we set up is the issue. I don't think the zonal is the issue. I think how players execute the zones and who he's put in the zones.
I think that taking it too literal
is a core issue.
The zone thing. If it's a zonal marking, still one player should be taking responsibility because, like, the funny saying is, whose man is that?
Take responsibility for your zone.
So how many other clubs in the Premier League use the zonal system?
I'm not sure.
I guarantee the system works for other teams.
The top clubs.
So it's not about the system. It's how the personnel are deployed in the system that's fucking us up. The personnel aren't up to scratch. Or the system.
They're not executing it right. That's the key. So like you looked at how the first goal happened the other day, right? And I think it was Lovren, Firmino,
Alexander's just behind.
And he started beyond Lovren and he's come across, right? Now, the key there is, A, if you see somebody come into your zone and out of your zone, you then have to say to the guy on your right who he's moving into, he's coming, watch him, get him. There's no one is speaking. That's the first problem. Then second of all, if the ball comes into your zone, you attack the ball as if you were up the other end, attacking.
We just have to focus on not giving set pieces away.
The thought of it, though, you shouldn't be sitting there watching your fucking Liverpool Football Club with your arse going like this because of a corner kick. It's fucking terrible.
But if we're like that, you know the players are like that.
Yourself over a corner.
You know the players are like
that.
That
head now,
and that's the thing is, it's a mental block now. Mm. I think that's why there's a
very hard to eradicate with the same personnel.
Yeah, that's the thing, and they're all looking around at each other.
Look at Jürgen laughing.
Well, here's something that Shay Given said on Goals on Sunday, and he said,
"Hey,
Hey, right, and he hasn't solved the answers. And if he thinks not signing anyone is acceptable, he's going to be in for a rude awakening.
Champ played through an injury over half a season last year.
Henderson's been doing it his whole Liverpool career. To be honest, his
ankle's fucked.
But that's part of the point in having a player.
All right, I'll use another example.
He just said he's fucked.
Yeah, I know, but like they're playing.
He just said he's fucked. He's not fucked his ankle.
Okay, let's
look at.
Let's look at.
What's the point in having a player who is not fully fit?
Well, let's look at another example of how both players are treated differently, right? So Jordan Henderson comes out about Philip Coutinho and turns around and goes, I can't influence the decision. I can't get him to change his mind. Emre Can comes out and says, if he decides to go to Barcelona, I'll be delighted for him. No one says a fucking thing about that.
Yeah, Henderson says that. Henderson's a captain. The one thing about
Emre Can, supposedly the captain in waiting. So what's the difference?
One other thing that I think about Henderson, just sort of similar but different point. When we saw him in Champions League and he did the interview after Klopp, He didn't look like a captain, and he was asked those questions. He looked nervous. He looked rowdy. He should be coming out and saying, "I'm proud. I'm a Liverpool captain." And show, you know, show a lot more passion. You know, when he did the before the game, before the Champions League, I just looked at him and go, "You're a rabbit in headlights here. You're the captain of Liverpool Football Club."
Jamie, you're a huge fan of Henderson.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of
So you've got your voice.
No, but what I'm going to say
is, you don't have a voice.
You said
you're a huge fan of Henderson.
I'm a huge fan of Henderson, but I'll also be able to say I think he's been getting bypassed in these games too easily. But that's down to the fact that he's trying to get momentum in probably the most unforgiving of setups possible. Yet we all as fans, again, it's this over-analysis of particular players. He has to be at full throttle. No, he doesn't. It's going to take him 5 to 10 games. Be patient. You've seen what he can do. He dictates games from the middle, whether it's short, long passes.
I don't think he dictates any game. I've said to you all along, and I'll stand by it, I think he's a great lieutenant.
You're talking
about a general.
I think there's an element of truth in that. I will give you that.
Around the corner is the World Games featuring Andy, Stephen Daly, myself, and Jamie Holm, right? It's going to be videoed. It's going to be live on Periscope. You're going to see the events.
Can you go and watch?
Yeah,
you can come and watch.
Absolutely,
we can't because we're going.
Who's the bookie's favourite there? If we wanted to go into Paddy Power's now and get a bet on, what would the betting go?
All I'm saying, Shane, is
our new betting partner will be able to tell you, Shane. We haven't decided who that is yet. Yeah. But
all I'm saying is that we've been told by Andy himself, right, that he is the best person in the world at single event sports, right? So all it has to be is...
I think that's being slightly exaggerated.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's verbatim. I'm pretty sure that's the exact words that Andy used.
I didn't say I'm the best at every single sports.
I didn't say sports. I said single events.
I thought you said
sports.
That you were brilliant at every
I said I wouldn't fancy
the baseball one.
All right.
That's weird because you play golf.
Yeah, but I don't like baseball.
Main game, but in a deeper...
I know what you're saying. That my argument was people were saying, what about we... When the talk... I didn't know what the fuck that was. Sorry. Daddy Long Legs. I just fucking dropped. I was like, what is that? So the talk was when Coutinho was possibly going, people were saying, fuck it, just drop Firmino in there and play Solanke up top.
Right.
And I was just absolutely vehemently against that because I'm saying that weakens our team. There's no question about that. That weakens our team. Solanke looks...
Okay,
he looks
he's not someone that you shift from in a way of position.
He's not Mbappe.
Hang on.
Do you not think that he is literally the key to the way we play? And
who's Solanke?
Yeah, no, Lamar.
Firmino.
Yeah, he's the key to the way we play. And I'll tell you why, because if you watch him up top, you're saying you wouldn't drop him back into that position. I'd agree with you. I wouldn't drop him either because he's very easy to pick up. If you drop him into that dedicated position, he is easier to pick up. But a defensive midfielder can just go and look and go for him. Whereas when he's up front, if you watch him, he pulls in, he pulls wide, and when he comes deep, the centre half doesn't know where to go with him.
Yeah.
So this is where he finds these half
confusion.
Spaces. Mm-hmm. And the thing about him is, I think he's the making of these two out wide. And I genuinely believe that. That they have paced the ball, they're brilliant players on their own merit, but the weight of pass he hits them with. And even his movement, just to get out of the way to open avenues for other people to hit them wide men. I'd agree with you. I wouldn't drop him deeper. Mm. Now, what Andy says as well, you could.
Yeah.
And it could come to it. The way we have injuries and suspensions, it could happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if Firmino was fit and you have a choice of where to put him, he plays up there because he runs a game from up there. He really does. Like he can come out wide. He can come deep. He can get involved in the play. He can just disappear off the one side of the pitch and just opens up for everyone else.
Yeah,
that's the way I see it.
I'm not advocating we do that because he's one of our best performers this season so far from that role. You're not going to move him, but at the same time, if needs,
I don't know, you should always be looking at what you can do with the players you have.
I don't want to just dominate the conversation on Firmino because to be quite honest, right? Firmino was brilliant on Sunday, but look, Mane is just
ridiculous.
Gone to a different level.
Yeah.
He's gone to a level that I never thought he'd ever get to, right? When we signed him. And I was one saying, geez, I don't know about signing spending 24 million in Mane. Well, I'm holding my hands up and I'm saying, holy shit, we've signed a fella who's potentially world class. And I mean, not to pretend everyone is world class if they're half decent in a team. We're talking about a fella who is a difference maker. The way you stand your man up on that goal, he gets a hole in isolated. and the quick change of feet. You know what's coming. Holden obviously knew what was coming. You could see him about the...
Check knew where it was going.
But do you know where what's coming?
Oh, that's, exactly. That's the thing, exactly.
Where you don't know what's coming.
He's well able to do that. He's able to
work on both because feet. Because he can do the outside, he can do the inside.
Exactly. He looked like he's going to shoot, and he played that back heel that he loves. Yeah. He'll go, he'll put a square ball in, he'll put it to the back post, the front post, he'll shoot. You don't know what's coming, and that's the problem with him. The only thing you do know is, give him any space, and he'll either score, or he will absolutely burn you, and there's no catching him.
But Gav, let me ask you, right, when he cuts in, right, you're a defender, you're trying to stand him up, and you're trying to show him to the byline, you know he wants to cut back onto the right, but his footwork is just so quick. No matter what you do, like Holden played reasonably well for Arsenal in the first half. He got isolated a lot, but that was the way the system, their system was set up, right? And we'll talk Klopp's tactical approach later on this, but you know, there's nothing you can do if a fella throws to show some, like, does a dummy to cut back inside. You can't ignore the dummy, because if you do, he could just go with the ball and you've opened space for him. And if he doesn't, then he's going to cut back inside and destroy it as it is.
Yeah, but if you watch the goal yesterday when he's put away, if he goes a full pelt, you're probably not catching him, but he's trying to do something at an absolute full speed, which is harder to do than controlled. But he deliberately lets the defender come back. He deliberately says, right, come on, I'll stand you up now. And I know when I shift this ball 2 yards, I'm getting there and I'm hitting it before you're even getting close to me. Well, that's where it is key. It's that 2 yards. Now, over 30, 40 yards, he's blistering, but it's those 2 yards where he makes a movement towards the ball and you're not getting close to him.
Yeah.
And in fairness, the finish is unreal, because look how big Czech is in that goal.
Yeah. And he goes across and into the corner. And bends it's a fantastic finish.
And as a defender, if he stands you up 1v1, normally a defender will try and show you which way he wants you to go. Mm-hmm. He'll try and show you left or show you, probably onto your bad foot.
Yeah.
You can't do that with him because of how quick he is.
Yeah.
He just flicks that ball by you. And the amount of times I've even seen him chasing down fellas, just last causes. Yeah. And next thing, it's like the road runner. You just see him, he's catching him, and he's gone by them.
Yeah.
And like Gary Neville alluded to there, I think in the commentary, he just said, look, if he gets you 1v1, that's it.
Stephen, isn't this it though? And it takes us nicely into Salah as well, because Salah could have had a hat-trick before half-time, right? And it's the whole idea of this electric pace that the two boys have, and even Firmino's no slouch, right? No. He's relatively quick. Mm. No, he's not a speedrunner like those two, right? But
very few people are. I know.
But like, you look at Salah and you look at Mane and you look at how quickly when we wanted to press Arsenal that first half where they had three at the back, how quickly those lads are just get on those defenders so as to pressure them into making a pass where
it's phenomenal. Like the speed at which Salah actually gets to, is it Sanchez that he dispossesses with the ball there for the, where he heads it past them and then goes into their half. Sorry, not Sanchez. The speed at which
he's laughing his head off.
Arsenal
fan TV.
What you call it? The speed at which he gets to Bellerin. Bellerin's not expecting it. No. He's on top of him before. Bellerin thinks, I have time to deal with this ball that's coming to me. And all of a sudden, Salah's on top of him. He wins the header, and Bellerin's in no man's land. He may as well.
It was criminal. He noticed it before that one. I don't understand why Bellerin was so. He was in our half from their corners. Where he should have been on the half. At least then you've more time for fellas to help you out when you see it bounce. But he was 40 yards from our goal.
And then continue. Like, looking at tonight's team, outside of the only change you might expect is the goalkeeper. And I want to start there because I'm going to be quite frank. I thought Karius was going to be a lot better for us. He hasn't, right? Mignolet is utter fucking shite. Why wouldn't you play Danny Ward at this point in time?
Well, he can't. I think Klopp has painted himself into a corner there. He's come out repeatedly. Repeatedly and said Mignolet is my number one, Karius is my number two. And if Karius comes in, it's only because Mignolet for mental fatigue or for the Champions League. So he can't go back on that now. I mean, he's talked himself into this position that he's in, hoping against hope that Mignolet was going to improve. Yeah. Because before he came, we got these bursts of performance from him. Like, we've all seen them for 5, 6, 7 matches. Then he reverts to type and he's absolutely shite again.
Yeah.
So we've seen it. He's just experiencing it now, but he should be experienced enough to have seen it coming down the tracks. So is Mignolet going to be dropped? Absolutely not. He's not going to be dropped. Karius isn't going to come in, and that's not going to change this season.
I'm not saying about Karius. I'd like to see
a Ward even. Yeah. I get that, but I can't see it happening.
Yeah, the Ward thing is like every other season. There's always a fella in the, you know, in the squad who people believe will do a better job than his
same position in the team. And it's not because they've played outstanding. It's just like you build up this belief that, oh, he can't be as bad as them other fucking pair of cunts. So stick him in. Why not?
He's turned into Buffon while sitting on the bench or in the stand.
But that's not what motivates a manager to make a decision like that. He can't be as bad as the other pair. It's more so what he sees in training. Now, like, he's clearly wanted to keep Ward back this season to watch him for a seat, you know, rather than send him out on loan. He wants to see him in training all the time. If Ward deserved his chances, he will and would get them. You know what I mean? It's not very realistic that he's going to play at the weekend. I think it's going to be a while before we see Ward again, unfortunately, because we're out of that League Cup. But I'm the same as you, Phil. Like, the curiosity has me about him. Like, that one game he's played this season, and then he's played a bit in the pre-season as well. He's impressed me more. I felt more at ease with him between the sticks than the other two. I just think there was something about him. Like, he just seemed to command his area a lot better.
Okay.
Karius wasn't too bad tonight, though. I know he had not an awful lot to do.
He was poor on the goal, right? And the problem I have with Karius at this moment in time is that I still haven't seen that breakthrough performance that you want to see from a guy that you see as your future goalkeeper, right? And I thought that when he was dropped last season, that unless he was put back in before the season was ended, you're potentially destroying a fella's chance. And it's so rare for a goalkeeper to come back from being dropped in a club where he doesn't get another run at it again, right? Yeah. I know what Klopp is trying to do in the Champions League in terms of give him games and build his confidence up. But when he looks back at that free kick tonight, I still don't understand how he can't get across his goal. And when two hands are behind that ball and it goes through his two hands, and that's just not good enough. And the reason why I'm saying about Ward is, in the Bayern Munich game in pre-season, he looks more competent than the two of them together, right? Mm. He was outstanding for Huddersfield last season. He went on loan to Aberdeen the season before that, right? And he was one of their players of the year, and he played in the Europa League, and he got European experience, and he proved to be a fantastic goalkeeper in Scotland, right? And made his breakthrough for the Wales in terms of his international debut, and he's still the backup keeper in Wales, and I'd argue he's a better goalkeeper than Wayne Hennessy is as well, right? Yeah. And then looking at the Leicester game, everything he did in that Leicester game, he was as quick off the line as Karius was, right? He was making saves that you expect him to make, but he was more dominant and more confident in the box than either of the other two. When he came for a ball, I wasn't worried about him coming for a ball.
I tend to agree with you. Yeah. He tends to, from the little I've seen of him, or the bits and pieces when he was on loan, he tends to do the things you expect your goalkeeper to do very competently.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the flamboyant stuff, saving penalties and pulling balls out of the top corner and making these fantastic saves and then dropping it. The stuff, when you say to yourself, I hope the keeper, maybe the keeper should come for that, he tends to come for it and he gets something on it. So he's very, very competent. I'm reluctant to call the simple things, but the things you want the goalkeeper to do to give your back four confidence and to give everybody that's defending a corner a little bit of confidence.
Absolutely, Neil. Neil,
scorings for Sunday.
We will win and we will concede. I think we might win handsomely, actually.
Right, an old-fashioned win in St. James's Park.
Yeah. Like Michael Owen when he done that.
Yeah, yeah. Shane.
4-2.
Andy,
you took the words right out of my mouth there. I think that's going to be the scoreline. I think this is the weekend, we take our chances, and obviously we can see the obligatory goals that
I was thinking 4-2 as well, but I just didn't want to say because I had the ball.
I've a really fucking strong feeling about 4-2. So much so I'm going to do my first bet of 2007.
Live on air.
Right, I think it'll be 2-1 to us. And I don't like predicting wins, but I think it's going to be 2-1. I think we'll be 2-0 up. We're going to miss an absolute sitter, and then they're going to score a penalty with 10 minutes to go. And going to shit our bags for the remaining 14 minutes, including injury time.
I'm feeling so confident about 4-2. I want to start naming goal scorers.
Do you, yeah? Go on, Sal.
So,
Lovren, OG.
The opening goal, Coutinho.
Oh, you're going in order. You're going to call them in order. Yeah. This is unreal, and it's like winning the lottery.
The second goal, Coutinho. Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
All right.
Mane. And then off the bench, Sturridge. Or Solanke, not sure.
Sturridge or Solanke.
Okay.
Right, that's great. Thanks for your crystal ball there.
So you know,
I heard someone say, and I was like, why are you pooping on me at the Ploughing Championships?
Jesus. There's a couple of things there. What are you doing at the Ploughing match?
Hey. It's not the Ploughing match, it's the Ploughing Championship.
The Ploughing match. That's what they call it down the country, the Ploughing match. That's what they call it. And who is shitting on who at the ploughing match?
But he overheard it. That's the point. He says, and I was like, why are you pooping on me?
Oh, pooping was the term they used.
Yeah.
Oh, someone of real polite shitty sex.
Well, maybe if we try it in a country accent. And I was like, why are you pooping on me?
You know that kind of, not that some people are into that getting shit on.
Scattered.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, maybe it was really posh. Where would you like me to poop? Leave it around my chest, please.
The starter's costing you 40 million.
But the 15 million has now become 30 because of the new influx of money in the sport. But I just want 5 starters. I don't care where they come from. I don't care if they're fashionable. As long as they're not
there's a difference. There's a difference between
the last. Like starters, mate. It's like a full meal except it's all starters. That's a key word.
Tapas!
Try tapas, mate.
Genius, Nick.
That's all I have to say, lads. This is a bollocks conversation.
You may as well just go home. That's the best thing you're going to say today.
I just want 5
going to
need that there. Right?
grab that mic and just drop it on the ground.
Tapas.
Neil Gray, everybody.
Thank you. I'm here all week. You see Jurgen Klopp onto Michael Edwards. So what's the plan this summer, boss?
Tapas.
I'm going to talk there, so for the preferred.
Here comes the first competition coming up for Umang. So here is Jamie's yes. entry.
Okay. So are we talking just league or can we do cup?
You can do cup as well. Not the pre-season friendlies, though.
Okay, yeah.
Well, if you knew them, you'd be
okay, great. So when we played West Ham in the League Cup, what was the score?
Is that 88-89?
It's 88-89.
So it's around about November time, late November, 28th, 29th of November. We lost 4-1.
Hang on. That's fucking weird.
Wednesday, the 30th of November, West Ham 4, Liverpool 1.
Absolutely weird.
Oh, no, we've got to do 2 more because that's fucking unbelievable.
I'll go to Vegas with you.
Wait,
I'm a very good driver. I'm a very good driver.
I have one up there.
Robbie's up.
Do you know what Umang's first name is? Rain.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robbie. Robbie's got one.
That's my nickname.
87-88, obviously, yeah. Season we won the league. Home to Wimbledon, what was the score and who were the scores?
It was around March 88.
Yeah, it was.
It's the first time Dalglish came on as a sub that season, and we won 2-1.
Oh, that's weird! It's weird!
Yeah.
Go on!
2-1.
Go ahead.
2-1.
Fucking hell!
Goal scorers. Barnes and Aldridge.
Fuck's sake.
There's no better way
to baby.
No better way to wrap the pod than on that bombshell. And that's a cut for you to show out.
Charlie Madden, unbelievable.
We'll do one more.
Right, yeah, one more. I know we got it. Right, so I'll just pick. Okay. That must be like an awkward one, but there probably isn't
anyone there.
Give us an end of that DVD, will you?
Liverpool versus Norwich City in the league in the 88-89
season. At Anfield or at Carrow Road?
At Anfield.
We lost 1-0 just before Christmas.
Saturday the 17th of December.
Week before Christmas.
Norwich City won.
Definitely,
man.
Fuck it up. Do you know what? When you're on a date, you should mention that.
No. So I'm off to Spain, so I'll see you when I get back. Good night, God bless, and that's a wrap.
Change from doubter to believer. It's a very important thing.